The Old Testament lesson and basis of our homily this morning is Isaiah 25, verses 69. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all people a banquet of rich food, a festival with wine kept on their sediments, rich food full of marrow, wine kept on their sediments and filtered. On this mountain he will remove the veil of grief covering all people and the shroud covering all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from the whole world, for the Lord has said so. On that day they will say, "This is our God. We look to him to save us. This is the Lord we wait for. Let us be glad and delighted that he saved us." My dear Christian friends, are you hungry? Whether or not you have already this morning broken your nightly fast, it is quite possible that even at this moment in the presence of God's house and hearing his holy word, you find it much easier to place your concentration on that delectable delight of a donut that is awaiting you in the cafeteria. Or perhaps looking even longer into the future, you are anticipating the glory of lunch time. We know what it's like to be hungry. It's a feeling that we all have experienced. And even though many of us have never experienced fully and really physical hunger, hunger in the starving person category, yet we have at one time or another known that sick feeling in the pits of our stomach that's telling us we ought to have something to eat. And you see, because we know what hunger is, we also know the joy of eating. In fact, if it weren't for hunger at least once in a while, it would become very easy for us to take our food for granted. Or even worse, if it weren't for hunger, perhaps we wouldn't know enough to eat something in the first place. Nothing could be so tragic as a person who starves to death or is simply undernourished out of total ignorance of what he ought to be eating. Yes, hunger can be a very positive force. It shows us that we need food, and it allows us to appreciate our food. Imagine the feeling that a wife and a mother might have if she spends long hours preparing a very special meal for her husband and family. And then they arrive at the table with everything prepared and everything looking just gorgeous to announce rather casually that, well, we're just not very hungry. How disappointed he would be. And you know what? Sometimes the feeling I've had, and I'm sure you shared it with me, upon making an evangelism call. When we have presented the gospel in the most wonderful and beautiful terms, when we have shared what it means that Christ has died for my sins, and we can't understand how these people can do anything except praise the Lord. And they respond with a rather polite but very cold, "Well, that's very nice, isn't it?" It seems as though we have laid this beautiful banquet before them, but but they're just not hungry. It's no accident that God describes our spiritual needs in terms of food, and thus also in terms of hunger and thirst. It's no accident because very obviously this image of food and hunger presents a very appropriate and descriptive way of talking about our spiritual needs, of explaining the hunger that we have or should have, the hunger that we have for that pure milk of God's Word, explaining and demonstrating the fact that we are starving, yet craving for that bread of life. But even more so, it is true that God actually, and at times quite literally, feeds us. Feeds us with that milk of His Word, gives us living water, and yet gives us something supernatural to eat and to drink. And so it is also no accident that our Lord describes the glory of His grace, of being in His presence in terms of sitting at the most beautiful banquet we could ever imagine. Why, in our gospel lesson this morning, our Lord Himself describes the kingdom as a sumptuous marriage feast, and why our Lord, through His prophet Isaiah, points to a banquet on Mount Zion and describes our life with God, life which we have only through His covenant of grace, as a life which comes only from eating at the Lord's table, both now and in eternity. And yet there are many that are not hungry. Those people you do meet on evangelism calls, people you are sure you can turn into gung-ho church members, and yet they really don't care or don't understand that Christ died for their sins. Why is it, even within the household of faith, that that new Bible study which the young, energetic pastor just recently graduated from the seminary has been pushing for 4 weeks draws but a handful of faithful Bible students? Why is it that in a church that emphasizes so strongly word and sacrament, that when we turn to the communion liturgy as found on page 24 in the fourth part of your hymnal, we witness a mass exodus from the back pew? And why is it that even the spiritual leaders and professional theologians have to make time, sometimes almost unwillingly force themselves, to get their daily nutrients from their devotional reading of God's Word? Are we really that hungry? Ask your people that some Sunday morning. How many of them just couldn't wait to get there, to get their spiritual food for that day? How easy to begin to take things for granted. Do we too sit down at God's table after all He has done, after all He has prepared for us, and say rather casually, well, I'm really not that hungry? Or do we know and appreciate just what that food really means to us. Food that we need so desperately. Food without which we would starve and die in the most awful starvation and death possible. So it is only when we realize how totally empty and hungry we really are. Empty because of our sin and because of our natural inability even to feed ourselves in a spiritual, not to mention physical, way, that we begin to realize the grace of God in giving us that bread of life. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. A Savior who has, through his body and blood, given on that cross, won us forgiveness. And he now shares that death and new life through his body and blood with us to eat and to drink. Our good shepherd, he prepares a table before us. There, right in the presence of our enemies, he himself, amidst the forces of evil, who at that very moment were plotting to crucify the Son of God, stopped and prepared the most glorious banquet the world has ever seen. And it is the same Lord who promised that special banquet on Mount Zion to the prophet Isaiah in our text this morning. A feast that we of the new Zion enjoy already, at least in part. For this banquet, glorious and sumptuous as it is but a foretaste, a spiritual appetizer, if you will, of that ultimate feast when we shall gorge ourselves with the glory of God, when he is revealed in his fullness at the end of time, when he will destroy death forever and wipe away every tear from our eyes, when we shall eat and be full in our promised land, a land flowing yet oozing with milk and honey, when, as our text says, God will prepare that banquet for all the nations, a feast of the finest food and the finest wine, and then we too will say, this is our God. We look to him to save us. This is the Lord we wait for. Let us be glad and delighted that he saved us. And we pray, even now, come, Lord, quickly come. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. For you have made us your special guest at the special feast which you have given us. Lord, answer our crying hunger with your living bread from heaven, that we may eat and drink, and hunger and thirst no more. Amen.